tape recorded message number TL-464. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Now take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 12, and we will continue our consideration of Saul's period as the great king of Israel. Our study begins with the 12th chapter, where Samuel said unto all Israel. If Samuel had assembled all Israel, every man, woman, and child that made up Israel, it would have been a group so big that none could have heard them. But even when Samuel assembled the rulers of thousands, he had assembled all of Israel because they represented. If he went on and assembled the rulers over hundreds, along with the thousands, that would have been all Israel because these were representatives, and that is the way that Israel assembled. So when Solomon speaks unto all Israel, the message is intended for every individual that makes up this nation. But in saying it, he probably said it to the rulers of the thousands. He declares, "Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day." He mentions his sons here. These sons were certainly not exemplary characters. They were wicked men. And it was Samuel's early dream that one of these should succeed him and become the ruler over Israel, whether he was anointed to be king or not, but this was not to be. But he brings them in here, and he mentions them, and he says, "I walk before you from my childhood unto this day." And as we have followed the record from the very first, we know that he speaks the truth. He says, "Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? Let him show this, and I will restore it unto you." This is the words of Samuel. "And they said," they gave witness the fact, "you have not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand." And he said unto them, "The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand." And they answered, "He is witness." So this clears his complete control over Israel of any wrongdoing, of any stealing, of any bribery, or any act at all by which he would have defrauded his fellow Israelite. Now, there's going to be a rehearsal here of the history of Israel, beginning with the sixth verse. "Samuel said unto the people, It is the Lord," that is Yahweh, we translate this Jehovah, "it is Jehovah that advanced Moses and Aaron, that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still," a word that means, a phrase that means, "be quiet, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forget the Lord their God, he sold them in the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord, and said, We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord, and we have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. Well, the Lord sent Jerubbaal. You remember him as being Gideon, Jerubbaal, and Baden, and Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwell safe. And when ye saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. It was just a fact that they could put more trust in a tall, strong man than they really could in God. And when the Lord was their king, he was the one that they really set aside and asked that a king be placed over them, the same as other nations. And in verse 13, he says, Now therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen, and whom ye have desired. And behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. If ye will fear the Lord, that is, revere him, acknowledge him, recognize him, give him glory. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now there is to be a great sign to confirm this. You know, in the land at that time, one thing that they would never expect was rain at the time of the wheat harvest. It could happen, but it so rarely happened that one would never expect it. So in verse 16, he says, Now therefore stand and see this great thing, which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you've done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, an indication that even those who have sinned can take up at any time with the Lord, and go right on from that point. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. The word vain in both the Old Testament and New Testament always has the significance of empty, just void. In verse 22 he says, For the Lord will not forsake his people. This is Israel. And the Lord will not forsake his people for his great namesake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. He would never cease to pray for them and to teach them the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord, and serve him in truth with all your heart, and consider how great things he hath done for you. But if you still do wickedness, he says, ye shall be consumed, both you and your king. Well, Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel. Now there is a difficulty here which it seems has created a great difference of opinion. 32 years was the length of his reign, and he reigned a total of 32 years over Israel. It seems that a figure here has been dropped in the text. But we know here that at the end of 1 year, In verse 2, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. So this is 3,000 men, 2,000 under the charge of Saul, and 1,000 under his son Jonathan. And Jonathan smote the garrison, the Philistines, that was in Geba. And the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, Let the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines. Israel also had an abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Beth-Aven. Notice that phrase there, the people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude, a phrase that just always means that they are innumerable, cannot be numbered as to the count. Now, when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves, and in thickets, and in rocks, and high places, and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Now, he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. He told him to wait there for 7 days. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, Bring hither a burnt offering to me. And peace offerings, he offered the burnt offering, something that he had no right to do, for the offering of these things was the work of the priest. And for anyone at all to do this outside of the those who were appointed as the priest, served as the priest, it was just simply an intrusion into the priest's office, but he'd offer these burnt offerings. And then we read in verse 10, it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, What hast thou done? And Saul said, Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and you cameth not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. He said, just in desperation, I did not want to do this, but I forced myself. And all he did was just a religious thing. His made-up religion, even though if Samuel had done it, it would have been an act of God, but for Saul to do it, it was just simply a human religious thing that was a sin against God. So he says, I forced myself and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, your government or your dynasty upon Israel in perpetuity. The word forever here is just impossible, but if we say ever flowing, which is the basic idea in the word olam, or just turn that into English and say one word and say in perpetuity. He would establish your government upon Israel in perpetuity. But now the kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain, that is, leader and representative over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. So that is the word of Samuel, that the family of Saul is not going to inherit, and that the kingdom, the right to govern, is going to be taken from him. So Samuel arose and got him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people who were present with him, about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan his son, and the people who were present with them, abode in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Michmash. And the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned into the way that leadeth to Ophrah and the land of Shual. And another company turned the way to Beth-horon. Another company turned to the way of the border that looketh to the valley of Zeboim, toward the wilderness. Now we have the record there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. These smiths were what we call blacksmiths, workers in iron. But you couldn't find the smith because the Philistines had captured all the smithies, and they could not be found. And the reason for this was that the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. They couldn't do this unless they had the iron workers who could do such a thing. So these were already in captivity. And so when the Israelites, they had to go down the Philistines to sharpen every man his share, his coulter, his axe, and his mattock. And all they had was a file for the mattocks, for the coulters, for the forks, for the axes, and to sharpen the goads. And so you can see here that if they did go down to the Philistines to get their sword sharpened, if such they had, well, they could put a dull edge on it and a blunt point, and they couldn't any longer fight with it. So there's the pitiful record. There was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, because the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. So all the Israelites went down the Philistines to sharpen every man his share, that would say the plowshare, his coulter, his axe, and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters, for the forks, for the axes, and to sharpen the goads. Now in verse 22 it reads, so it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. And the garrison of Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. Now, this would be the cut, the passage that led into this fortress. And now they are out in it. Now we're going to read of Jonathan's great victory. This is history. We'll keep the history before us. We'll notice each word that is said, each turn that is made here in the record. And we will see what happened. We will see how the Lord worked. We'll see what men did, and so on, as we examine this chapter. Verse 1, chapter 14. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison, that is on the other side. But Jonathan did not tell his father Saul about this. Now Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people who were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. Besides the 600 men, he had this priest, and he was wearing an ephod. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over into the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side, and a sharp rock on the other side. The name of the one rock was Bozeh, the name of the other was Sene. They gave names to these, that is only natural that they would do this, that they might be able to identify them and distinguish them as to their location. Now, in verse 5 it says, the forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said, the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint the Lord to save by many, or to save by few. There's no restraint. In other words, if God cannot save but two men, then maybe he couldn't even save by 2 million. Jonathan recognizes this, and he has the feeling that the Lord may work in their behalf, because there's no restraint the Lord to save by many or by few. Well, in verse 7, his armor-bearer said unto him, "Do all that is in your heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." This is what the Bible would call submission, yieldness. Even if it cost this man's life, he was going to stand by Jonathan and stay with him and do what was in his heart. This is what the New Testament means by the word metanoia, which is translated repent, but which A.T. Robertson says is one of the worst translations in the entire Bible. I agree with him. But here is a sample of this, of a submission, a man submitting in advance, not knowing what will happen, but he says, "I'm with you according to your heart." Then said Jonathan, "Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say unto us, 'Tarry till we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, 'Come up unto us,' then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hands, and this shall be the sign unto us." And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves." And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor-bearer and said, "Come up to us, and we will show you a thing." And Jonathan said unto his armor-bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them out of the hand of Israel." This armor-bearer, who had submitted in advance, is just as submissive when he's called upon now to do this dangerous thing of walking right into the garrison of the Philistines. So Jonathan climbed upon his hands and upon his feet. He couldn't walk standing straight up. The incline was too steep, so they walked almost like an animal by hand and feet, his armor-bearer right after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor-bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor-bearer made was about 20 men, within, as it were, a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was trembling in the host, that is, in the army in the field. Among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled. And the earthquake, so it was a very great trembling. Seems like just at this time that God sent an earthquake. And the earthquake, and it was a very great trembling. This would have rated quite high on the Richter scale, as we always think of it here in California, and this was a real shaker. Now, in verse 16, the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah, Benjamin, looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. Inasmuch as some could not move as fast, the other just went on beating down one another. Then said Saul unto the people that were with him, "Number now, and see who has gone from us." When they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor-bearer were not there. And Saul said unto Ahiah, "Bring hither the ark of God." For the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass, while Saul talked with the priest, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, "Withdraw thine hand." And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves. And they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow. And there was a great discomfiture. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp and the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise all the men of Israel, which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Beth-Aven. And the men of Israel were distressed that day. For Saul had adjured the people, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged of mine enemies. Now, Saul had imposed this unwise restriction, unnecessary restriction, and said that no man should eat anything, and he would be cursed if he did, until I have been avenged of mine enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. Now this would not be difficult to understand, because wild honey is such, especially if it's in a tree, can break down, and once the comb breaks down that contains the honey, the wax that contains the honey just simply runs out. And here was the honey. It was upon the ground, probably at the foot of a tree. And when the people were coming to the wood, behold, the honey dropped. Might have been caused, too, by the earthquake. But no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand, he dipped it in the honeycomb, he put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, Thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint. But now Jonathan speaks up, and he says, My father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more if haply the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found? For had there not been so now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines? And they smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon, and the people were very faint. And the people flew upon the spoil, and took sheep and oxen and calves, and slew them on the ground. And the people did eat them with the blood. Then they told Saul, saying, Behold, the people sin against the Lord, in that they eat with the blood. And he said, Ye have transgressed. Roll a great stone unto me this day. And Saul said, Disperse yourselves among the people, and say unto them, Bring me hither every man his ox, and every man his sheep, and slay them here and eat, and sin not against the Lord in eating with the blood. And all the people brought every man his ox with him that night, and slew them there. And Saul built an altar unto the Lord, the same was the first altar that he built unto the Lord. And Saul said, Let us go down after the Philistines by night, and spoil them unto the morning light. Let us not leave a man of them. And they said, Do whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Then said the priest, Let us draw near hither unto God. And Saul asked counsel of God, Shall I go down after the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them unto the hand of Israel? But he got no answer. He answered him not that day. And Saul said, Draw ye near hither, all the chief of the people, and know and see wherein this sin hath been this day. When God did not answer, he felt there had been some sin. For as the Lord liveth, which saveth Israel, though it be Jonathan my son, he shall surely die. But there was not a man among all the people to answer him. Then said he unto all Israel, Be ye on one side, and I and Jonathan my son will be on the other side. And the people said unto Saul, Do what seemeth good to thee. Therefore Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, Give a perfect lot. And Saul and Jonathan were taken, and the people escaped. And Saul said, Cast lots between me and Jonathan my son. And Jonathan was taken. Then said he to Jonathan, Tell me what thou hast done. And Jonathan told him and said, I did but taste little honey with the end of the rod that was in mine hand, and lo, I must die. And Saul answered, God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan. He's going to bring the name of God into all of his actions now. The people said unto Saul, shall Jonathan die, who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid, as the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. Then Saul went up from following the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. So Saul took the kingdom over Israel, and fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab, against the children of Ammon, against Edom, against the kings of Zobah, against the Philistines. Whithersoever he turned himself, he vexed them. And he gathered a host, a great army. He smote the Amalekites, delivered Israel out of the hands of them that spoiled him. Now the sons of Saul were Jonathan, Ishui, Melchisha. The names of his two daughters were these. The name of the firstborn was Merib. The name of the younger was Michal. And the name of Saul's wife was Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimaaz. The name of the captain of his host was Abner, the son of Ner, Saul's uncle. Kish was the father of Saul. Ner, the father of Abner, was the son of Abiel. And there was a sore war against the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he took him unto him. He made a soldier of him, just as Samuel warned that a king would do. He'll take the very best, the very strongest of your men, and make soldiers of them. And we see it here, after this little genealogical record, so we get all of the people straightened out, and we come to chapter 15, which tells us of Saul's incomplete obedience. Well, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. This is the word that was given to Saul to do. Here was a nation that was ripe for punishment, and a nation that was going to be completely wiped out. But some would say, would they need to destroy all of these infants, even those that were sucklings? Well, if they didn't, then they'd have to take them in. And if they took them in, this is going to dilute Israel. And it's going to dilute Israel in a very special way. Because if they take them in, they'll have to be received as Israelites. So you're just going to have more of a mixed multitude all the time. So the word of the Lord was, don't make slaves of them. Don't take them in. Make them a part of your people or anything like that. Wipe them from the face of the earth. This was the punishment of God. I do not say judgment. God judged it. And the punishment is to be executed by Saul. Now, they're not to do this in order to get their goods or to get slaves or to get their women. They're simply to destroy it all. Well, verse 4, Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen, 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek, laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart. Get you down among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But notice, he saves Agag alive. But Saul and the people spared Agag, the best of the sheep and of the oxen, of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. Now, the word repent in the Old Testament has nothing whatsoever to do with the meaning of the word repent or metanoia in the New Testament. These words are not interchangeable. We cannot appeal to the law of divine interchange to understand here, but God just simply says, it sorroweth me. This word has to do with sorrow, that I have set up Saul to be king. For he has turned back from following me, he hath not performed my commandment. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. It seems that Samuel more or less liked this big, tall young man that was now the king of Israel. Well, not really young any longer, but he had a high regard for him. And this grieved him exceedingly. He wanted to see him make good. No reason why he would not want to see him. So he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and he's gone about, and has passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then the bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have been brought down, brought them from the Amalekites. And the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. You see how they do it here. They adjust this. They say, we'll do what you said, but we'll do it as we please. And so you get some more man-made religion that God is so utterly opposed to throughout the entire Word of God. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night, meaning the night before. He said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, was you not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them till they are consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil, and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. He's trying to cover up his disobedience, but trying to make out like this was just some high act of religion. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. You see, the former rejection was the rejection of Saul as being the head of a dynasty. Now he's rejected thee from being king. Saul said unto Samuel, I've sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel. Samuel turned about to go away. He laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and Samuel was going, and it tore, it rent. And Samuel said unto him, This is a symbol. This is a sign. The Lord has rent the kingdom, the government of Israel, from thee this day. I've given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. And in regard to this, keep it in context. He will not lie nor sorrow. For he is not a man that he should sorrow in regard to this. Then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people. He wants to save a little face, and before Israel, and turn again with thee, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord sorrowed that he had made Saul king over Israel. Now, here we have a record of what happened. This is not set forth as an example. Never take it upon yourself to hew someone to pieces and say, this is what Samuel did, and I'm just going to act in the tradition of Samuel. You are not in the tradition of Samuel. You are not one who is a ruler in Israel, a priest over the people, and so on. What Samuel did here, he did at the direction of God. Well, that completes our study of the 12th and the 13th and the 14th and 15th chapters. We've come along here now this far and made quite a bit of progress in this study. We'll take it up at this point in the next lesson. I'll try to have some words to say to you on the meaning of this word Nakam, which is translated repent here. Well, that's everything for now. It's been my joy to teach you, and may the Lord richly bless you is my desire and my prayer for you. Goodbye.